We had an African-American guy who was a fan of mine. Great fan. Great guy. In fact, I want to find out what's going on with him. You know what I'm... look at my African-American over here. Look at him. Are you the greatest? You know what I'm talking about?
He's my African-American.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear is right. He didn't even know who he was.
He didn't at the time, I don't think.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. Like he knew him, and then he goes, I want to find out what's going on with this guy over here. I don't know who he is. But he's lying, people. He's lying in every sentence.
Greg Cheadle, running for office as a Republican in California, turns out, who's been forced to face the fire over why he was there and all kinds of other questions.
Michael Steele is going to face some fire
Hello.
Right now. Here's my African-American over here. Look.
Didn't we learn we're not supposed to say that?
I found one. Oh, my God. Come on, Michael. Come on. Yeah, I mean, you saw that. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, what did you think about? I mean, come on.
I did not react the way a lot of folks are reacting to it because I know he dropped the word. He just dropped the word. So I just take it for what it is, and it's Donald Trump. So you just take it in stride, keep moving.
I have a statement, by the way, from Donald Trump.
It's like the blacks.
The blacks, right? The blacks love me. The Mexicans.
The poorly educated.
I have an African-American. I'm growing a collection. It works. You know,
I thought the timing was terrible that he said, there's my African-American on the same week that Roots premiered. I thought it was a really bad idea, but that's me. Hey, I have Donald Trump's statement here. It's long.
It's a long statement. Yeah.
It's a long statement.
Was it prepared by him, do you think?
Well, let's see. We can make a decision here.
No.
Yeah, I would guess not. Basically he's saying it's unfortunate that my comments have been misconstrued as a categorical attack against people of Mexican heritage. I am friends with and employ thousands of people of Mexican and Hispanic descent. He definitely did not write this. The American justice system relies on fair and impartial judges. All judges should be held to that standard. I do not feel that one's heritage makes them incapable of being impartial, but based on the rulings I have received in the Trump University civil case, I feel justified in questioning whether I am receiving a fair trial. Over the past few weeks, I've watched as the media has reported one inaccuracy after another concerning the ongoing litigation involving Trump University. There are several important facts the public should know and that the media has failed to report. Then he goes on to what those facts are. People can go. We'll put this up on our website and people can read it. But I guess the question is,
so that's what he should have done in the first place. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number mm-hmm. two, he doesn't need to talk about a civil litigation matter that is involved any part of his enterprise or him personally, because that's not relevant for the presidential election unless there are criminal charges. And since this is not a criminal case, it is a civil case, it is what it is. Number three, and this is the most important part. Actually, it was a two-parter. Part one of the number three is this judge has actually ruled in his favor more times than not. In fact, what really brought this to a row was the fact that the judge finding that Trump, outside of advice of counsel, I can almost guarantee that, was talking about this case and indirectly inferring, or at least giving the impression that this judge is being unfair, impugning his character. He is a sitting federal judge. You do not get to impugn the character of a sitting member of the bench and not think, while they have your case in front of them, that they're not going to go, okay, you want, all right, let's release everything and show the public exactly what this case is. That's why we are where we are, because he couldn't keep his damn mouth shut. And he could not take this matter, leave it with his lawyers, as he said he was going to do, as he said he had been doing. Yeah, I could settle the case. He should have settled the case, because you're running for president. And you're running for president in an atmosphere in which your political enemies, and I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm talking about Republicans, would use that information, get that information in their hands, turn up the media, do the Oppo research, and put it on the street in a way that you may not like. And then the Democrats will jump on top of it. So that's what your reality here. Welcome to the world you've created.
This seems to be a little bit of a turning point, Michael. You're seeing people within his own party, Newt Gingrich specifically, others saying, whoa, 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 we can't embrace this. We saw our Illinois Senator Mark Kirk say, I cannot and will not support my party's nominee. There's an Iowa state senator who's left the Republican Party. There's all kinds of, there's this ripple effect within the party now, in particular reaction to this, or maybe the culmination that got us here. Does that surprise you at all? Did you think there was going to be unity at this point?
No, it doesn't surprise me. Well, it doesn't. I'll tell you why, Anna, because these guys, okay, Mark Kirk is in the fight for his life if he wants to stay in the U.S. Senate. And he cannot afford to have he needs to rely on the top of the ticket to help pull him in Illinois. He needs that. He needs it. The same for Ron Johnson out in Wisconsin. The same for Kelly out in New Hampshire. I mean, these are three seats right on the bubble right now that even before you got to Donald Trump, were projected as potential losses for the GOP because they're in blue states. And this is a blue state year in some respects. You're looking at
is it ever now, I think.
Right.
I mean, big states.
Even more so.
Yeah.
Even more so. So that's the new reality for guys like Kirk, who's like, you've got John McCain, who's like, I've got a reelection I got to do. So I may not be even at the convention. So this is the new face that the party has to confront. It doesn't help that you have people whining and moaning on Donald Trump and how bad he was and how awful he was. And then, 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever later, saying, oh, I'm endorsing him, I'm supporting him. So you're losing credibility among independent voters and like-minded Democrats. You've lost credibility among your own base because you've attacked this guy for so long, whom they, 10 million plus Republicans have voted for. So I just drink. That's all I have left to do.
I got a nice bottle of red wine for you right here. All right, part of the problem.
No, we moved on from wine.
it's that bad.
Yeah. Oh no, this is definitely a double bourbon night.
Imagine how fun the Republican convention is going to be.
Oh,
imagine the drinking going on there.
I don't know if any of us are getting out.
I don't know if anyone will be there.
We'll have to be there, though. I mean, that's a different. Well, someone will have to be there.
We'll be there.
To me, it's this issue that he's protecting his business interests over the interests of the nation. You talked about that at the very beginning, and it makes me feel like he's unhinged. When I watched him on Jake Tapper on Sunday on the CNN Sunday morning show, State of the Union, and he was like, "I'm building a wall, okay, I'm building a wall," and it's like. And that's why. And so why does this guy? So and Tapper was like, wait, now just explain to me, why is it that this guy's race has anything to do with his legal judgment? I'm building a wall, okay? Right? And it's
right.
Like, okay, now let's. And that, by the way, that's something that all of his surrogates say now too. Okay? Like, all right, okay. I don't know why all the pretty blondes are screaming okay at me on TV because it's probably because of him. He countermanded yesterday. You've heard this story. He was on a conference call with his campaign management team and the people who are running the surrogates program. And they said, hey, we're going to pull off this judge thing. It's not working for us. And he countermanded them and demanded that they go out yesterday afternoon and go harder on the judge. Now, what is, I mean, here's a question for you, because you were a professional at this. You were the guy that sit in those conference calls during presidential campaigns, and you had to make decisions about what was going to work and what wasn't going to work, right? In 2000,
right.
in 2009, 10, 11, you had to figure that out. What, if all of a sudden your candidate who's shooting himself, in a Nixonian way, is only the president in American history that even comes close to this. And he says, "No, I'm going to continue to do it." How many of these people are going to flee?
They will. They will leave. They will try to leave quietly. They will try to leave in a way that doesn't create a story. In other words, make them a story. But they will start to do it. If you get to a point where you cannot manage the campaign because there is no campaign to manage, then your reputation, your livelihood in the future is probably already being questioned in some circles in Washington, particularly for some of those folks who are, hardcore political operatives. You know, so they've already taken a level of risk. A Paul Manafort doesn't have that risk for certain. But a Corey may, but a Corey probably doesn't care because he just came into this thing fresh, and I don't see him leaving a Donald Trump, for example. But there may be some others who do see life after this campaign and want political life after this campaign. That becomes a real concern for them. And certainly as you're starting to see now, the blowback on those members of Congress and others who are endorsing Donald Trump, you know, Lindsey Graham offering them the off-ramp. Here's your off-ramp, folks. You better take it now.
So Lindsey Graham went from despising him to endorsing him to now saying, here's the off-ramp, and I'm taking it?
Right. And so that's the credibility gap that's being created across the country right now with a lot of these folks. It's just not believable. So no one's, you know, who's looking at this going, oh, so now you tell me that, you know, this was a bad plan or this isn't the thing to do when, you know, you told me once it was bad, then you fell in love, you said everybody jump on board, now you're telling me to take the off-ramp. This is going to be a muddled mess, and it's is absolutely all Donald Trump's doing. The only way it fixes itself is if Donald Trump stops it. He stops with the litigation crap. He stops with the diversion above his lawsuit in Trump University, and he focuses on the missed opportunity that he's had over the last 3-4 weeks to solidify the party. You had the president out there chomping at the bit to get in this thing, but on the president's watch, 38,000 jobs were created last month. Not a word out of the campaign about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Trump University. You had the IG report that basically laid out the facts against Hillary Clinton in the clearest form yet mm-hmm. that we've seen, and even made the point that even Mrs. Clinton, if you'd asked permission, you would have been denied permission to do what you did. And there was nothing because we were talking about the damned university.
And the fact that she can't get past, or she, you know, she's the presumptive nominee, according to the Associated Press, that she has the pledged and superdelegates she needs, but that she hasn't shaken Sanders yet either.
Right.
He's vowing to keep going
exactly.
and going, and that could be something you would think in normal times the Republican candidate would be pointing out.
We'd be all over that. We'd have a field day about tonight in California and how Bernie Sanders is taking this woman down to the wire and likely beyond. I mean, he's talking even less than 24 hours ago about, no, we're going all the way to Philadelphia with this.
Yeah.
So, but
I think he won't.
Conversation because we're talking about a university that no one cares about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me, and especially the students who have totally useless degrees from it. All right. There are 13 paragraphs in Trump's sentence. Only two of them are not defending his lawsuit.
Well, what do you mean they're not defending? What are they doing?
In other words, all the rest is... The rest is he's saying this has all been taken out of context, and he's explaining what he said about the Mexican, about the judge, and all the rest of them are a line-by-line defense of the lawsuit itself, talking about the plaintiffs and talking about the who the people are. And then at one point, now the second to last paragraph I think is interesting. Due to what I believe are unfair and mistaken rulings in this case and the judge's reported associations with certain professional organizations— questions are raised regarding the Obama-appointed judge's impartiality. So he rolled Obama into this.
Well, here's the problem. He's not just an Obama-appointed judge. He was first appointed, which is how he became a federal judge, by a Republican president.
By George W. Bush.
By George W. Bush. He was first appointed by the Bush administration. He was later elevated to the federal bench by Obama, with the approval of a significant number of Republican senators. So this idea that this guy is, and this goes to the second part, which I didn't say in when I opened up, on the third piece, the part two of that is not only that background I just told you, but the second part of that is he actually, like, you know, was going after the Mexican cartel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's some, like, you know, pro-nationalist Mexican La Raza
exactly.
activist.
And wasn't he appointed by Reagan in California to the bench? I
yes.
mean, he's got, like, this background yes. that really defies all of the logic behind this.
He's got a – but here's
Reagan.
The final rub on this thing.
When he was governor of California.
Well, Reagan was – it couldn't have been. This guy's not old.
No, he's not that old. No, he's, yeah, yeah.
Some connection
no,
with
Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, Schwarzenegger. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. So, but here's the final piece of this. So when you talk about all of this, you know, I believe, you know, he's unfair, mistaken rulings in this case. Well, guess what? There is no case because it hasn't gone to trial. And you can't – all the preliminary rulings the judge makes, again, noting most of them have been in your favor to this point, if you have a problem with that, guess what? There is a judicial process that you can file a complaint with the judicial proceedings board, and they will take it from there if you think this judge is biased in some way.
Well, and the fact that
they've never formally requested him to recuse himself. Why? Because his lawyers know the minute they do, they will sanctions will be leveled against them for frivolous litigation. Because there's no basis for it. There's no basis for it at this point in the trial. And this is the problem that this whole thing is. He doesn't, for whatever reason, he hasn't liked a couple of rulings that have been leveled in his case, ignoring the ones that have favored him, and now has taken this approach and it brought this into the main street of American conversation, where, again, we don't care. We don't care. And all it's doing is showing us your temperament to be president, not your temperament to be a plaintiff in a lawsuit.
Right. And a defendant in a lawsuit. And that's what he is. And that is the problem. And he's acting crazy like people who are going through a divorce or a lawsuit or whatever. And when he's looking at Jake Tapper, and he looks like he wants to kill Jake Tapper, I'm building a wall, okay? How come no one's paying attention to my wall? It's like South Park. It's like South Park. All right.
So here's the latest as we begin to part way. Here's the last little bit.
Is this going to annoy Roe?
Yeah.
No, this actually is not going to annoy him, I don't think, too much.
Okay.
So the word is that the suspicion is that he's looking for his own exit ramp.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is his own way to get out. Because
Trump,
he never wanted to be here in the first place.
Never
it's clear.
To be in the first place.
It's clear. I'm building a wall, okay? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
I love you.
Go build that wall.
I know. All right. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Michael.
He's, man.
All right. I'm building a wall, and Violetta's reporting on it.